Amen. Well, thank you, John. We never do that song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence, that I don't think of my good buddy Dennis Wilson, who's in heaven. And the reason is I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Now, that's what Dennis called Jesus. And that's one of the phrases that's always used in Scripture, the Nazarene. And Dennis would always talk about, you know, Pastor, we got to love the Nazarene and the Nazarene. And he loved that phrase. And I think of him every time we do that little chorus of that whole song that Charles Gabriel wrote. Amen. I stand amazed. You ought to as well. Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bible and go to the greatest benediction, I believe, in all the Scripture, the last two verses of Jude, in Jude 24:25, where Jude has some good words to say. And we're going to look at those in just a moment. While I was gone in August, I visited many, many places. And one of those places that I always wanted to go was to Westminster Chapel. Now, a lot of people go to Westminster, the big church, London, but across the road and down a little narrow street is a church, and it's called Westminster Chapel. And it was there that G. Campbell Morgan was the pastor for years, and then Martin Lloyd-Jones was the pastor, and they just lost their pastor that's been there of late. I stood there, and we made some pictures, had a good prayer time in the altar. The church it's around, the balcony goes around, and it's on one side a double deck balcony. It's just a gorgeous old church, and so we were in there. And when we kind of got ready to leave, I ran into the maintenance man. If you want to know about a church, you find a maintenance guy. I'm telling you, he'll get you where you need to go if you'll be good. And so I saw him, and I said, we're from America, and we're just looking around and grateful to God for G. Campbell Morgan and Martin Lloyd-Jones and all their ministry. In the ministry of your church, it goes on even now. I said, I've been told that you still have the office where these two men study, and that the desk is there. He said, yes, sir, it's in there. And I said, well, wonderful. And I just waited. And he said, would you like to see it? I said, well, yeah, like I really would, you know. And he said, well, I think I can make that happen. And he fumbled through a bunch of keys. He didn't have as many keys as Bob Ritchie, but he was close. And so he got all these keys, and he opened the door, and we went in. And I sat there, and we had a little prayer time and just looking, you know, just a little plain office, but an old, old, old desk. And I thought, man, some of the saints of God sit at this desk. And then he opened up the closet, and he said, I have Martin Lloyd-Jones' preaching jacket here. Would you like to put it on? I said, well, you know, I kind of really, I think I'd be like really cool. And so we slipped that on. It's a robe. It was all tattered in the sleeves, you know, because it's old. And so we got some pictures with that. And right in the back neck of the old robe, it simply said, Martin Lloyd-Jones. I read a lot of Dr. Jones, and I wanted to quote him tonight from his book simply entitled Revival. Page 163, this is what the good doctor, that's how he was known, this is what the good doctor said, because he was going into the medical field before he became a preacher. The history of revival tells us it cannot be organized. Rather, generally the first thing that happens is that one man or a group of men suddenly begin to feel this burden, and it's so heavy that they are led to do something about it. I've shared that with a lot of our Baptist leaders because so many of us feel this burden. And Jones says it gets down to just one or two or a small group. And they get such a burden that something needs to be done that they decide we're going to do something about it. So that's why we started calling prayer meetings across America. I shared this with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, this quote, and he's used it many, many times now in his blogs. And with Dr. Steve Gaines, who's our present president, was in the meeting. There were five of us that, and I shared this with those other four guys. We met at Five Guys one afternoon in North Carolina. And matter of fact, I sent them all a gift card to Five Guys. I said, Five Guys met at Five Guys, and it was pretty cool. And so we used this quote, and we just were all burdened, and we said, we don't know if the Lord will but we just know we've got to do something. And so we started calling these prayer meetings. And last Sunday night was an outflow of that first meeting 6 years ago at that Five Guys hamburger deal up in North Carolina. We were at the Billy Graham Library, and we were looking around, and that's when the burden really got on us. And this quote came to my mind, and I looked it up and shared it with the guys. And I said, you know, there's such a deep burden. We got to do something. And so we started praying. And so last Sunday night was, as I said, a part of that. Well, that's a good beginning, but it can't be the end. We must continue to pray. You need to continue to find ways organically to meet with people to pray. Just out of your own burden, you need to do that. And thinking about that, I want you to help me as we just jump off for a few minutes out of having that burden about what Jude says in this benediction. It's a prayer, and it's a good one for you to memorize. You say, well, I don't memorize Scripture. Well, you memorize a lot of other stuff. So think about memorizing these two verses. Write them down. Look at it. Put it up on the mirror where you comb your hair in the morning. Look at that, or put it on your phone or something. Here's what Jude said. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Amen. That's a great phrase. And to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Before all time, before there was time, and now, and forever, ever and ever, amen. That's a great phrase, a great benediction. Somebody ever calls on you to pray and you're real nervous, memorize that and just say that. And it'll be good, okay? Now unto him who's able. I want you to think with me three words here. When? Now. That very first word, now. Now. Today's the day. Now's the time. If you've been thinking about praying, now's the time. You've been thinking about getting saved, now's the time. You've been thinking about following God, now's the time. You've been thinking about getting obedient to God, confessing your sin, now's the time. You saw that older gentleman up there being baptized. Friend, if you've been thinking about baptism, now's the time. Y'all do it now. Now. To him who that now. That's the only time God knows is now. He doesn't deal in yesterday. He doesn't deal in tomorrow. He deals in today. Now God calls you to do something. I sat on the top row of the balcony in the Central Park Baptist Church, 1973, I think it was, and I've shared this with you before. I took seven songbooks. I took seven of these books like this, the old hymnal, and I stacked them up, seven of them, and I sat on them in the balcony on a step because I couldn't see over the banister rail with the line of sight, and so I put those books there, which jacked me up a little bit, and I could see over, and down on the front was E.V. Hill and Stephen Olford. The place was packed, and God dealt with my heart that night, and he said, I need you, and I need you. That was a night of surrender for me. I've had several of those in my life. That was a night I said, Lord, wherever, whenever, whatever, I'm yours. I'm ready. Dr. Olford, I'll never forget him. Englishman, Scottish. He rolled his R's when he'd talk. He's preached here for us. Years ago, I had him come here. I'll never forget, he said, we're going to do expository preaching. I had never heard that word. I didn't know what it was. And that's what I'm doing tonight with this text. And I remember I drove home. I told my mother. She said, how was church? I said, man, it was really good. I said, I heard some guy preach, and I don't know what he did. He called it expository. I don't even know what that means, but I know this. Whatever he did is what you're supposed to do every time you preach. And so I made a decision that night I was going to be a Bible preacher, and however he did it, I was going to do it. So I just bought every book he ever had. And you couldn't preach his stuff. I mean, it just wore me out, but I could learn from him. Now, on that top row, now in North Carolina, today, now's the time. When do we see revival? Now! You need to obey God now. You say, well, I got some things I need to deal with. Well, deal with them now. Do it now. Whatever God's called you to do. There are many things you can't fix. But there's some things you can do right now. That God's called you to do, you can deal with, and you can deal with it now. So when is now? What? Now unto. Now to. Unto. Unto him. What are we supposed to give him? Well, he tells us down in verse 25, unto him be glory and majesty, dominion and authority. Look at those four words with me down in verse 25. Now unto him, to give to him. What do we give him? Glory, free praise, honor, and worship. That's what glory is, free praise, honor, and worship. We got close to that, Brother John, last Sunday night down there. Now we got close to giving God glory. We just lifted our hands, our voices, bowed on our knees, and we gave him glory. Not only give him glory, free praise, honor, and worship, give him majesty. Majesty means you give him first place. You give him lordship. You give him preeminence. He's the majestic one. He's first. Nothing else is in front of him. You give it unto him. You give him glory. You give him majesty. First place in your life. The third word is dominion. It means ruling, control, and ownership. I belong to him. I don't even belong to myself. I give ownership over, ruling, control of my life, dominion. He dominates my life. Unto him be glory, unto him be majesty, unto him be domination, dominion, ruling authority. And then the last word is that word authority. That is radical obedience. God has authority. Whatever he says goes. I read a story this afternoon in the sports page that after putting it on Snoops, I found out it wasn't true. Do you know some of the best stories are not true? But they make good illustrations. The story was written. I don't know who made it up. Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And last Sunday on 9/11, whoever wrote the fabricated story said that Jerry Jones went in to the locker room of the Dallas Cowboys and said, now, gentlemen, I want you to understand something. I'm the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. You are actors on a stage. And on 9/11, when you walk out there on that stage, and they play the national anthem, you will stand on your feet, you will put your hand over your heart, and you will pledge allegiance, and then you will sing the national anthem. Every one of you will do it. And the fabricated story, in that fabricated story, Jones says, you are actors on the stage, and I want to remind you that I own the stage. In other words, you work for me, and if you don't want to work for me, you can go work for somebody else. But today of all days, you'll do it. I wish that was a true story. Yes. That's a really cool parable. That he's the owner, and if you play and work for him, then you do as you were told, or you don't get your check, or you go somewhere else. Well, that's the kind of authority Jesus is to have over your life. Radical obedience. When he says, do, stand up, bow down, go right, go left, he owns the stage because we've been bought and paid for with the price of the blood of the Lord Christ. And we are to give him glory and majesty, dominion, and authority. When now? What to? But unto who? That's the third word. Unto him. Unto him. Unto him who is what? He's able. Hallelujah. God is able. What is it he's able to do? Well, let's look. Here's the sermon for tonight. 3 points, no proem, but we got three things I want you to see. Three times in Scripture, this phrase, he is able, is used. The first one is in Romans 16 and verse 25. So you see it up on the screen. Here it is. There it is. Now to him who is able to do what? Establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. Now, unto him who is able to establish you. Some of us tend to waffle and we don't stand and you get fearful. Well, let me tell you, God's able to make you strong enough to stand. He's able to give you root in your life, to establish you, to make you a person after his heart. He establishes us. Some of us establish a home. Sometimes we establish a church. Sometimes we establish a business. Let me tell you what God does. He establishes you. He plants you. And you can last. So all these folks, I had them come for a reason. All these folks that are here, people that pray for them and are concerned about them, because we know the business that they are in and where they came from. So many people are concerned about relapse, and they should be, because we see that. But not only do they relapse, the folks sitting out here hadn't been caught relapse too. But you see, how will they make it? I'm telling you, God establishes you. He is the able one. I never would make it if he doesn't establish me. It's not me, it's him. It's not you, it's him. God is able to establish you, to drive you down into a foundation and stand you there. We're building this new building out here. And one of our ladies that works in the maintenance area as a secretary that helps us with a lot of things, she made an astute observation the other day. She wasn't being funny, and she said, you know, it just took them a long time to get the foundation done. But she said, you know, it's amazing. If you get that part right, the rest of it goes pretty fast. And we chuckled and said, you know, that's kind of like living, isn't it? If you get the right foundation established in your life, the rest of things, you get on a sandy foundation, you're in trouble. He is able. I don't care what people are throwing at you, what they're bringing upon you, how difficult they are with you, God can establish you. Amen. Number two. Not only does it say he is able to establish you, but Ephesians 3 and verse 20 is a second place where you find this phrase. And we find the Bible saying, now to him who is able, unto him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Oh yes, amen. He's able to do far more. Abundantly beyond what you can ask or what you can even think. It's according to the power that works within us. We ask what for revival. We think we know what that is. Let me tell you, God will go further than we ask. We think, boy, maybe God would do. God can go farther than that. God is able to do more. Let me tell you, friend, God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. Just that quick, God can, it's amazing what God can do just in a moment, because He is able. He is able to do far more, abundantly beyond whatever you can ask Him. What have you asked Him for lately? What have you asked God for? My son, as many of you know, he worked here for us a little over 6 years. He's now at Liberty Law School. Well, I pray for old Bennett. I pray for him every day. And I send him a text about every other day. Just checking him out, see how he's doing. You know, he has highs and lows. He's a tender spirit. He's not like his sister. No, they're just all different. Amen. You know, he's more like me, not like his mother. You know, God can do more than you ask him. So, Ben, he's kind of up and down. You know, he's kind of emotional. And things go well. So he sends me a text this week. He said, I had a worst day I've had since I've been up here. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what, you know. Well, after I get to talking to him, in my estimation, it ain't nothing. But for him, it was the word. So I pray, you know, about his just keeping in check, and because he has to stay, and he's studying his brains out and reading and reading and reading and reading. Court case after court case after court case that he's dealing with now. And I've got a whole group of people. Before Bennett left, I don't think I shared this. Before he left, I invited every lawyer in our church, everyone I could think of. And there's a bunch of them. I invited every lawyer I knew to come and have dinner with him, and they came. And I asked them, whatever month their birthday is in, that they would take that month. They're born in October, they'd pray for my son in that month. I got a letter or a text this afternoon from a lawyer said, tell Bennett, please, I'm an October baby, and October's my month to pray for him. It's coming right around the corner, and I got him covered next month, and the September folks praying. Why do we do it? Because God can do more than you can ask or think. God's got a way. I'm telling you, you ought to cry out to Him. There ought to be Sundays that some of you run to this altar and lay some things here. Lay your children here. Lay your life here. Lay your future here. What's God going to do? I'm here to tell you He can do more than you can even think or ask Him. But you ought to think and you ought to ask Him. And then watch God go beyond that. He is able. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's able, 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 able. He's able to do more. He's able to establish us. And then in Jude 24 is the third place where He's able. And we find it right here. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, amen, and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy. Number one, He's able to keep you from falling down, and number two, He's able to make you stand up. Now I know part of that is He's going to have you stand at the judgment, part of that text, but He also has you stand here with great joy. Some of you hadn't been happy in so long. Some people just kind of born sour, seems like, in the kickative mood. It bless you just to get happy in Jesus. It would. So let's practice. Keep you from stumbling, make you to stand in His presence with great joy. All right, six times we're going to do this. Then we're going to pray. All right, over here in this section, I want somebody to tell me something that was good God did this week. Yes, ma'am.
My parents got baptized this morning.
Who did?
My parents.
Her parents were baptized this morning. That's great joy, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, somebody over there in that far section. Anybody happy about anything this week?
Yes.
What did God do brought great joy? Yeah, that bunch is sour over there. Right. Anybody get great joy in this section this week?
I got a job.
Praise God. Do they pay you?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody repent over there in that far section? Anybody with joy? Amen. Boy, he's doing a great job raising up these Bible studies, these coaches. But we got to have leaders, hadn't we, coach? And so he raised him up. Amen. What great joy. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody in this right here? Joseph?
One of the girls that I led to Christ at the abortion clinic, and she changed her mind. She's 5 months pregnant. She's going to have a little girl. She sent me a picture.
Amen. Josie works a lot at the abortion clinic, going down in the rescue and helping and for life, and led a lady to the Lord. Now she's decided to keep the baby and having a little what?
A little girl.
A little girl.
5 months.
In 5 months, you have a little girl. Amen. That's good. Amen. God's able. That's right. Praise his name. Anybody over here had anything good happen this week? Joy? Any joy? Any joy? Yes, sir. Amen. Healthy babies on the way. I was watching her glow while she's singing up here a while ago. I was thinking, amen, just praying that everything would be good. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a good word when you get a great word that your child's okay. And I know Liz and I lost 2 or 3 and to miscarriage. And then, you know, when you get them and it's good and they got 10 digits, and all, you know, you worry about that stuff because you don't know. You're grateful to God when you get a good report. Anybody in this section joyful? I got them 23 for Willis. Come right here. I'll just do all three of these.
My daughter got a job that she was praying that she would get.
Amen. Daughter got a job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Charlie?
I'm thankful for my new brother tonight that got baptized here. And that he and his new wife, they just got married Friday, found each other.
Amen. Married and baptized in the same week. Bless God. Amen. God's able. And I had one more back there. I saw them. They're just all lined up. Yes, ma'am. New grandchild. Amen. Little boy, I think I heard you say. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is able. We need to believe God. You say, well, preacher, what if something doesn't come? Let me tell you, God's able. You need to trust him. And he'll keep you from falling on your face. And then he's able to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless. Now, he's talking about judgment here. We're going to the other side. We're not going to be blameless till we get there. Everybody in here has got problems. We're not beyond blame. And we all have, but one, we're coming to the day when we'll stand blameless because he'll see us through Christ. We'll be as pure as Jesus. And he is able to establish us. He's able to do more than you ask or think. He's able to keep you from stumbling. I used to stumble over stuff that I don't stumble over anymore. Now I stumble over different stuff. I've noticed. Some of y'all have to help me with this. When you get 60, is your balance not as good as it used to be? Yeah, I don't have a neurological problem, do I? I mean, it just kind of happens, doesn't it? I notice it when I'm down here, John will be doing a good song, and I'm standing out here at the front, and for me, I just, when I sing, I go up on my toes. I don't know why, I just like to, and I've found when I do that, I've got to where I kind of have to step a little bit, and so if I look like I'm happy in Jesus, it's just I'm nearly drunk. That's what it is down here. It, you know, has that ever happened to you? Never? Amen. You go to hell for lying just like you will stealing, all right? Amen. You know, things change. You have difficulty. I mean, it's just different stuff. But God's able in every season of life. What you stumble over as an 18-year-old, you don't stumble over as a 58-year-old. And at 38 and 88, you don't stumble. But you have other things. And God is able. In every season, God is able. Can't tell you enough that he's able. He's able. He's able. Blessed be the name of our able Lord.